You are on Radio Tacoma's Climate 360.
And I'm your host, John Doherty, where we take a 360-degree look at climate here and around the world in 360 seconds or less. So let's get right to it. Let's talk climate politics. There are 22 states where climate-denying government has the upper hand, controlling both houses of the legislature plus the governor's office. By comparison, there are 15 states in which the governments tend to be climate aware. The remainder are a mixture. Various states like Florida and North Carolina forbid saying climate change in government communication or outlaw considering climate change when issuing permits. There are states like Tennessee where teachers are required to teach both sides of climate science, the other side being science denial. Wyoming is considering a law that would prohibit state and local officials from cooperating with the federal government with things related to environment and climate change. And there is a further disturbing trend coming from these science-denying states, and that's legislation which is intended to stifle environmental protest. 17 states have passed this kind of legislation per recent count. They attempt to end-run free speech guarantees by saying things like assemblies can't take place in the vicinity of what they call critical infrastructure, read pipelines, for instance. So in some states, it's just simply illegal to go and protest at the construction site of a pipeline. But you know, it's not just the states. It's the federal government, too, which is a mix of climate change aware and climate change denying branches. Addressing climate change requires initiatives, new laws, new thinking, new regulations. We have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. Every one of those institutions is in a position to block meaningful climate change policies. It takes just one of the four. And we have a Supreme Court with a majority appointed by science deniers that looks poised to diminish the federal government's power to regulate things like pollution and carbon dioxide emissions. Because what? Because there wasn't any climate change when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution? Whatever the rationale, we can expect the Supreme Court to oppose federal steps to mitigate climate change for the next decade or two. And of course, the anti-science minority has an advantage when it comes to the presidency via the Electoral College, allowing minority candidates to become president. The Senate, which is grossly minoritarian, not to mention there are extraordinarily minoritarian rule requiring 60 votes to pass most significant legislation. And then there's the House, which rarely represents the national majority because of their state advantage where they gerrymander districts, all but ensuring that those who are climate aware aren't fully represented. According to surveys done by Yale University, 78% of Americans are worried about the future of our climate. According to Pew Research, 2/3 of Americans think the government should be doing more about climate, yet the steps we are taking as a nation to address climate change fall far short of what's needed. How can that be? It can be because an angry minority in our country cares more about getting their way than they care about things like one person, one vote. And they figured out ways to get their way, even though those ways fly in the face of our democratic history, the idea that all of us are created equal. It's clear that defenders of democracy in our country realize the importance of our 2024 elections. That applies equally to those who understand what's going on in our environment and with the climate. Science deniers will be using every possible means at their disposal to disrupt, confuse, invalidate our electoral process. We know ahead of time that they will not accept an electoral loss. Quoting from Tammy Patrick with the National Association of Election Officials, the system is going to be tested in every possible way, whether it's voter registration, applications for ballots, poll workers, the mail, drop boxes, election results websites. Every way in which our elections are administered is going to be tested somewhere at some time during 2024. So, what to do? For those who believe that the arc of history bends towards justice, getting there in these times requires supermajorities, and it requires that the majority, including folks who understand the science of climate change, work harder and smarter to at least match the passion of the anti-science, anti-democratic minority. An authoritarian tactic is to separate and isolate supporters of science and democracy. A successful response to the authoritarians requires us to join hands with like-minded people. There are many organizations with concerted political voice with Get Out the Vote campaigns, with getting money into races where it does the most good, so look for one or more and join in. Which takes me to...
What are we reading?
We're reading Tyranny of the Minority, Why American Democracy Reached the Breaking Point by Stephen Levitsky and Daniel Ziblatt. I'd call it a must-read for anyone who cares about our and our children's futures. They do finish the book by pointing out that our nation has been able to reform itself in the past and advance concepts of equality before the law, the end of slavery, women's suffrage, the legal establishment of civil rights, and we can do it again. There is an expression, people get the government they deserve. I could add, people get the government they're willing to work for. And that's your Climate 360.